I'm sorry, I'm trying to forget the words. Sometimes the enemy will want to keep you from something by using this technique in your life, this tactic. Well, you know what, I don't want to do that because I'm afraid I'll draw attention to myself. And that's legitimate because we don't want to do that. We don't want to draw any attention to ourselves, right? But what's your heart? Is your heart to honor Him in it? If so, then just do it. Just honor Him. You know what I mean? Hope you're hearing me today. Because the enemy will keep you from doing something for the Lord that the Lord wants you to do because, well, I could draw attention to myself. Okay, on a different note, I'm going to ask my sweetheart to come up. Emily, my wife, she is, her birthday is this week, and the church wanted to present that to her. So happy birthday. She's the same age as Jim Summers, 39.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let's keep it there, too.
Keep it there, yeah. That's as far as it goes, right? Well, hey, we get the privilege of having this missionary with us today. I've considered him a friend for a number of years. We were trying to figure out earlier this morning the first time I saw him, though I didn't really meet him, I think it was probably 18 years ago or so, maybe 20. And we have been friends for probably 15 years, maybe a touch less than that, but... This is Brad Kelly. He's a missionary to students. If you're a student, raise your hand. Higher. And a student in high school or junior high? Sorry, clarification. Okay, there's several hands up, brother. And we're glad that you're here. I am so thankful that I get to pastor this church. I am so thankful that I get to pastor this church you know what, we might even hear the kids downstairs through the vents later. And if you are, don't you dare fuss to me about it, because I don't care. Because I want the kids to be downstairs.
Amen.
Okay? I'm thankful that this church rejoices that we have children. I'm thankful that this church supports our teenagers.
Yes.
I am grateful. I'm a happy pastor because of those things. And look, we got two on the front row right here. This right here, this is a Bible given to me by our friend Bradley Keller several years ago. He gave this to me, I'm going to guess, about 7 years ago. And it's this right here, in case the Lord kind of prompts my heart and I can go to it and look something up. What a blessing. And let's give Brad Keller a warm Warsaw welcome as he comes to share. Hang on before you say no. Get ready. This guy is crazy. What did he do? He is loud and crazy and he's awesome. Okay, so he's going to say things wild and funny, and it'll be okay to laugh. Okay. But hear the word today, all right? Okay, I love this guy. I love the way God uses you. I love your different voices, and so anyway, there's my little intro.
You hear what he's doing? He's releasing me.
Yeah,
he's saying just go.
Yeah.
So watch out. That's all I got to tell you right now. It is good to be in God's house today, and I want to say howdy from southwest Missouri. I travel all over, so southwest Missouri. I'm from Slozark. Things are a little bit slower in Ozark, so call it Slozark. Home of the best Lamberts in Missouri. If you've never been there, you've probably driven by on your way to B. Ranson. So good to have you here. Good to be with you. Greetings to you on the book face, or wherever you're looking at us online today, glad you're here. And I want to share a scripture thought with you before we get too far into it. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Yes.
It's good to be in God's house with God's people in God's presence.
Amen.
Doing and hearing from God, worshiping our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And I'm excited to be in this place with you, with people who are on the front row drinking coffee. Come on, hallelujah. Man, that's I don't have many vices. I have one, and it's coffee. So Just bear with me today. I had about a half a gallon before I started this second service today, so we're good to go. Anybody here from a small town? Small town folks in the house? Just raise your hands. Me too. I'm a small town boy, a town of 180 people, which has grown by leaps and bounds to a town of 120. So we used to have two grocery stores, three bars, and a convenience store, and a feed store. Now they got a convenience store. That's it. So everything's shutting down in the town. I grew up in Taylor, Nebraska, Loup County Public School, High School 40. Yeah, we played eight-man football, and then the school shrunk, so we got to play six-man football. We were state champs, by the way.
Yeah.
And when you play six-man, that means everybody's available, eligible for a pass. Those were fun days. Those were fun days. I was much thinner and smaller then. Obviously, I want to say a great big thank you to Pastor Chad and Emily for allowing us to be with you today.
Yeah.
I love your pastor. I've loved him for many years. He is a man of honor, and he's humble.
Amen.
And you guys are blessed in
Amen.
This place
Amen.
To have a man.
Amen. You got that right.
I've had the opportunity to see you in a lot of different roles, bro. And to see you in a place where God has you, and God is using you, and God is using you in power is incredible. It does a heart good when you see your friends succeeding. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's good to be in a place where the shepherd hears from the Lord. Thank you, bro. I love you, man. So, I appreciate the opportunity to be in church. And I want to just exhort. I want to tell those of you today who are volunteers in the church. I'm a product of a volunteer. He was my Sunday school teacher for 6 years, from sixth grade till I graduated from high school. His name was Willis. Willis Dunbar was my Sunday school teacher, and most every week he had a lesson prepared for one kid, and that one kid was me. He had all kinds of things to say, words of wisdom, and I am here today because of Willis Dunbar. He's no longer on this earth. He's gone on to a higher plane to be with Jesus in heaven. And I'm thankful for a man who is committed to Jesus. I want to just take a few moments to show you a picture of my family. And you see, there's my tater head. Next to me is my lovely bride. And her name is Carrie. We've been married for 26 years. And then our daughter Joy. In the middle, this is her high school graduation this past spring, and she is 19. My son, Michael, is right next to her, and he is 15. He would also like me to tell you this morning that he is the second tallest person in our family now. So he's been eating well, and puberty has been kind to him. He's growing. And then my daughter, Ashley, who is next to him, she is 17. She is graduating from high school this year. So I am a youth pastor and have been a youth pastor, and now I have my own youth group. So it's good. My family doesn't travel with me a lot because I believe in the local church. And I want my family to be plugged in consistently to their home church. And my kids serve, my wife serves in the local church. And so I want you to know that they wish they could be here. They like to travel with Dad because, you know, we get to go eat at a lot of unique places, hang out with a lot of great people, but I want them to be plugged in with their local church too. You're asking, what does this missionary do? Well, in the next slide, you're going to see Youth Alive is what I do. And the lion represents, I want to encourage people to roar like a lion. You see, I believe my job, I'm an instigator. I'm a fire starter. I'm going to get you going. I want you to do more than you've ever done before. I want you to step out and do things that you've never done before and allow God to use you in ways you've never even thought of or dreamed of before. I'm going to go, hey, just go for it. Just do it. Let's go. Amen. And then I want to resource people. I want to show our next slide here. Youth Alive is a bridge. As we go on to the next slide, the bridge is for the church. Next slide shows to the local school. We want to help be a resource to help make things happen on the local public school campus. Well, why does a church need to be involved in the local public school? One in six people in our state, the state of Missouri, either are employed by or go to the local school, the local public school. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, I use Google. It's really easy to find out. We have 1 million people, students, teachers, administrators, that are part of the local public school sector. And we have about 6 million people population in our state. So one in six people. Math is easy when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We have a huge mission field because over 90% of the people who are involved in the public school sector don't know Jesus. And for you students who go to public school, you're like, well, no duh. Thanks for that information. If you're walking the halls, you go to a classroom, you never go to the bathroom in public school. But, you know, it is a rough place. And our students need us, need the local church, need us as parents, leaders, uncles, aunts, to be reaching them right where they're at. And you say, well, what do you do? Next slide. What do we do? And you can go on to the next slide. The first and foremost thing that we can do is
pray.
I beg of you, I plead with you, please, 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 please pray. Pray for our students who know Jesus. That they can live a life with their feet firm on the foundation of Jesus. That they can stand firm for who they believe in. And they can speak the truth to those that need to hear. That are in desperate need to hear. You see, as we pray for the local public school, as we pray for our students, as we pray for our teachers, as we pray for the administration, we pray for God to move. You see, it's not about changing God's heart, it's about changing our heart. And helping us to understand that the mission field of the public school campus is a great need. And when you send and pray, when you pray for the mission field, the next thing you do is we go on to the next slide, you send missionaries. And those missionaries are students. A lot of times, adults who are followers of Christ can't get on the public school campus and share about Jesus. You know, the whole separation of church thing. But students are on campus. And we need to pray for them. We need to ask God to use them to do incredible things. And your pastor already shared a little bit about that. I don't want to lose that piece of paper. Your pastor shared a little bit about what we do for students. And it's this right here, the Bible. You say, well, why do our students need another Bible? This here is the Fire Bible. Fire Bible. This is the Fire Bible. Yeah. It's the first Pentecostal study Bible for students today. And not only does it have the scripture, but it also has notes. It has been edited for students about the ninth grade level so that they can read the Bible. And then they can go to the notes. And I don't know if you've ever read some pieces of the Bible that you're like, I have no idea what that means. Some of you are probably smarter than me, but I always need to go to notes to help me understand what the scripture, to reveal it, to open it up so that my mind can comprehend what is being said in the scripture. We want students to have this because when they know the word, they share the word. Why? Well, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And thy word have I hid in my heart. We want students to have the word, know the word, share the word. There's no better resource, there's no better tool that we can put in the hands of people, of students, than God's word. You got a problem? Read the Bible. You need some help? Read the Bible. You don't know what to do? Read the Bible. I don't know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? Read the Bible. I'm having problems at home. Read the Bible. I am really struggling with my friends. Read the Bible.
Amen.
Read the Bible. I don't know if you've gotten it yet. That's why we want people, we want students to have the Bible. Next slide. Then we want people to work together. to reach the public school campus. Sometimes that means having a campus club. Sometimes that means youth leaders or pastors getting together, reaching the public school campus, doing whatever we can do. Sometimes all it takes is having a conversation. I can't tell you, and I'm going to be honest with you, how many times I've gone with a youth pastor, a youth leader. Hey, have you ever met the school administrator? Well, why would I do that? Well, let's go. Let's go meet them right now. And they find out that they're real people with real needs. Hey, is there anything we can do on the campus? There was a youth pastor named Ryan, about 20 miles north of here in Sedalia. Couldn't get on the public school campus. Couldn't make anything happen. He talked to me. He's like, I don't know what to do. I said, well, take cookies. What? Take cookies to the teacher's lounge. Teachers like cookies. I promise. Fresh baked cookies. You can find it somewhere. Somebody will bake cookies. So he started taking cookies once a week. Just said, hey, here's my cookie delivery. Next thing you know, hey, we have some kids that are kind of struggling in school. Would you like to meet with them? And he did. And they asked, hey, do you know of anybody or any place anywhere that would be able to come and give us a good school assembly? Call me. We did three school assemblies for the middle school and one for the high school. And then that night, we came back and openly shared the gospel with about 500 students, and over 200 gave their life to Jesus.
Amen.
Because he rang cookies. It's that simple. It's an act of love. It starts simple. And God can do incredible things. Obviously, you saw the last one already. It was the cross, and that's the gospel message. We want to present the gospel to every student, everywhere in the public school sector, so that they have an adequate witness of who God is and what He can do. And the last slide is this. You're going to see it. We do everything with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it on our own. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness that is outside of ourselves. And I want to share with you a little story as we look at this next slide. You're going to see this is a worn-out Bible. Your pastor has a nice-looking Bible, and this Bible was given to a teenager when he was called to be a campus missionary. We want to empower students with the Word. He started reading that Word. God got a hold of his heart, and he started sharing with his friends on campus. And as he went on and left high school, God continued to work on his heart as he read that scripture. And now that young man is on his way to Zanzibar. Zanzibar is a closed country. We can't send missionaries there. But he's going as a missionary, as an educator. He's going to teach English as a second language, and that fire Bible is going with him. I want you to know, I want to share just a little something with you. He said, God, send me to Africa, he prayed, but don't ask me to give my Bible away. I'll gladly buy someone two Bibles before I can give this one, which you see in this picture, away. It doesn't look the prettiest on the outside anymore, but I love my fire Bible. This Bible's been to Haiti multiple times, Mexico multiple times, in about 10 different states. When leaving the house, it's an essential. I make sure that I have it with me, and it's going with me to share the good news to Zanzibar. A Muslim country that does not allow Christian missionaries to come in, but God's Word is going for it. That's why we believe in a fire Bible. Thank you for your continued support, and we just ask that you would pray with us. We're in a unique season in the United States of America. One that I didn't know that I'd ever be a part of. But it honestly gets me ready to go. Because with great challenge comes great opportunity. The opportunities set before us are going to be even greater. the greater things that we can do for God. And if you're on Facebook, and I say that my 85-year-old mom is on Facebook, as soon as I post something, she usually likes it within about a minute. And so, like us on Facebook at U.S. Missionary Bradley Keller. My name is spelled funny, not F-U-N-N-Y, but B-R-A-D-L-Y. There's no E in Bradley. So find us on Facebook, or if you're on Instagram or other social media, my name is spelled funny, B-R-A-D-L-Y-K-E-L-L-E-R. I'm out there, and we try to be present on all the places so as to reach people with the good news. And yes, we're even on TikTok. So, if you know what that is. So, I want to tell you today and be honest with you, I'm a bit of a geek. I love comic books. I love to read, and I am a sci-fi fan, and I'm a Marvel fan, slightly a DC fan, if you know what that is. If you don't, that's okay. But one of my favorite things when I see a Star Wars person, you know, they always wear their gear, their Star Wars hat, and their shirts, and Star Wars shoes, you know, because they're really weird. I love to go up them to them and say, "May the Force be with you." If you know what that means, then you get it. So, but I love Marvel comics, and a couple of my favorite superheroes are Spider-Man. I love Captain America, but my favorite superhero is Iron Man. Yes, I know he's arrogant and he's rich, but I love Iron Man simply because he's a normal human being. Iron Man, without the suit, you go up and punch him and he's going to whine like a baby. That's the truth. He's just a normal, average guy who does extraordinary things because of the resources, because of the tools that he has. And I believe as followers of Christ, we have some extraordinary tools at our hands. God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit as we begin to step out and take risks for God. You see, 20 years from now, students, I'm talking directly to you. I'm talking right at you. I don't want you to say these words, "I wish that I." I don't want you to look back on your life and go, "I wish that I." I want you to say these words, "I'm so glad that I." It's time for you to take risks. It's time for you to do something incredible, not because of who you are, but because of who God is in your life. God wants to move in you. He wants to work through you. You see, I believe this. Without risk, there is no reward. The more you are willing to risk, the more God can use you. The more you step out in faith and not in fear, God can use you. If you are willing to risk everything for God, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that He can't do through you. Nothing. You say these. You see, God wants a simple word that comes out of our mouth. He wants this word. Yes. He wants obedience. You boil our faith down. You boil everything down. It's yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I love this phrase. I learned it when I was a student, a teenager. It's carpe diem. It means what? Seize the day. Seize the moment. And I challenge us today as followers of Christ that we seize this moment. We don't let it pass us by. God wants to do something incredible in this town, in this city. He wants to do something incredible in your house. If you say, "Yes, Lord, I will seize the moment. I will grab the brass ring. I'm not letting this moment pass me by," because God wants to do something incredible in your life and through your life.
Amen.
Amen. I love football.
Amen.
I'm a Nebraska boy. I'm a Cornhusker. You cut me, I bleed red. Well, so does everybody else, but that doesn't matter. I love the thought of the fall and putting on that helmet, getting those pads on, and winning one for the Gipper. If you don't know what that means, you're too young. But anyway, it's time to get out there and play some offense. It's time to score a touchdown. It's time to be a risk taker. You see, man said this a long time ago. And this man, he's one of just a few people who have set foot on the moon. Not many people. We can almost count on our hands how many people have set foot on the moon. He said these words. This is one small step.
Yep.
One small step. Oh, yep. What a giant step it was. I believe that playing it safe is risky. I'm a farm kid. I grew up, my dad raised Herefords, cattle, and we grew corn, popcorn, wheat, a lot of alfalfa, and I'm not a horse guy. Don't like horses. I mean, I've been on horses too many times and found myself on the ground. I love motorcycles.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And I remember my very first motorcycle. It was a Kawasaki KX two-stroke. Got on that sucker and just... It was much louder than that, I'm being kind. So, it was roaring like crazy. And this is my first time I ever really had a two-stroke. And first time I'd ever ridden a two-stroke. I rev the engine and I pop the clutch. And if you know, that's not a good idea. The next thing I know, I'm flipped over with a motorcycle on top of me. Now, most guys, you know, we don't get hurt. I immediately popped up, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, oh, okay, there's nobody around looking at me except for cows. Lots of cows. You ever heard a cow laugh? Not funny. So I get back up on the motorcycle, and I start learning how to ride it a little bit better and start taking some little jumps. If you've ever jumped a motor, even if you've jumped a skateboard or a BMX bike, you know, you get that little feeling in your belly. Oh, yeah. Start jumping. Woo! Now, I lived in these sand hills of Nebraska. No big mountains, but we had some big hills. And my neighbor had a big hill, and I remember getting back as far as I could from that hill. And I'm a child of the 80s. And so I had a mullet, 100%, and it was feathered on both sides. I know many of you are jealous. Like, I wish I had pictures. And I'm like, I know there are no pictures. They've all been destroyed. So I was back. My mullet was blowing in the wind, and I was hitting the bottom of that hill, and as I climbed up, it was like all of a sudden I realized that I was in the air, and I looked down over the handlebars, and my friends on the ground, they looked like ants. It was amazing. It was awesome. Did you hear what I said? I looked over the handlebars. You don't do that.
No.
All of a sudden, the weight had shifted, and I am diving to, you guess it, it's not going to be pretty. But I had an Edison moment. The light bulb came on. So I grabbed the handlebars, sat down as hard as I could at the very last second. Oh, I didn't go to the hospital that day. It was awesome. I faced the fear. And in those moments, it was incredible. I was getting high fives from my friends when we could actually high five each other. And it was awesome. But today I want to share with you from Scripture a story of someone who stepped out of their comfort zone and took a risk. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36, we're going to be reading a story that many of you have probably heard, but I want us to take a unique spin on it today as we look into God's Word in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake.
Yeah.
When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, and excuse me for being from Southwest Missouri, but here we go. They were terrified. And it's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And I know you're saying to yourself, is that how Jesus talked? I don't know. But I think he spoke with authority. So I imagine that he spoke like that. And here the next person that we see is the apostle, Peter. And this apostle, by the way, you remember he was Jewish. He says this, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, I like to think if Jesus were from Southwest Missouri, he would have said something like this. Come. You ask? Was Peter ready? He was a fisherman by trade. This probably wasn't his first time on the water of this particular part of... And so here he is. He's like, okay, Lord. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. And when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. As we begin to step out on this journey of life, as we begin to step out and believe God can use us in incredible ways, we've got to expect the unexpected. Jesus sent the disciples out. He knew a storm was on the way, but the disciples had no clue. And all of a sudden, the boat began to sway. Now, I didn't tell you this part of my life story, but I met my wife while we were in college in Springfield, Missouri. I'm from Nebraska. She's from New Jersey. And when we first got married, I moved a half an hour away from New York City. Country boy, city girl. My in-laws still live in New Jersey, and we got to go visit them. Mimi and Papa want to see the grandkids. So always around Christmas, we're heading out to New Jersey. And I don't know about you, but I'm one of those guys who likes to have things in a row, all the luggage in a row before we leave. Never happens, but I like to do that. And here we are. It's the day we're leaving. I'm rushing around trying to get the van packed so we can get to the airport in St. Louis and go on the plane to New Jersey. My kids are young. I'm excited. We're going, and I bump my knee on the kitchen cabinet. It hurts. It's very painful. I'm a whiner. And my wife says, just get in the car. Let's go. So as we're on the way, my knee continues to hurt, and there's a lot of pain involved there. And I'm whining, honey, my knee's hurting. She's like, it's going to be okay. We're going to get on the plane. It's going to be fine. So on the way, we get to the plane, we go to our layover in Chicago. Not a good idea, because why? The plane's delayed. It's the middle of winter. What was I thinking? My knee's still hurting. I'm complaining, I'm whining. She says, go get some ice. I go get some ice, put it on my knee, get back on the plane, make it to New Jersey. She gives me some Tylenol, sends me to bed. I don't sleep at all that night. The Tylenol comes up a couple of times. 6:30 in the morning, still pain, more red, more swelling. Honey, something's wrong. All right, let's go. So we go to the emergency room. And I can tell doctors don't know how much you spend on clothing. because I was in the emergency room, and immediately the doctor took his scissors and just cut my pant leg. And he looks at my knee. Immediately, his face turns white, and he steps back, and he goes, "I think we need to call the infectious disease doctor." That is an experience I hope you never have in your life. And for the next 10 days, I'm in the hospital. You know, they ask me those questions, what's your pain level? 1, does it really hurt? 10, it's really bad. I go, 11. So immediately, they start pushing me with some morphine, and then they try some other things to bring the pain level down. I got the button, and for the next 10 days, I'm in and out of lucidity. And on day number 10, a doctor comes in, and by this time, the swelling has gone down to my big toe, the redness has taken over, my skin is peeling like it's a sunburn because it has swollen so much. The infection is starting to creep up my thigh, and because they've been trying multiple penicillins, they're afraid they won't be able to stop it. There is a conversation about removal, if you know what I mean. And so the doctor comes in. They haven't pierced my skin because they're afraid it will get into my bloodstream. But now's the time. They realize they've got to do something. They pierce my skin, get some interesting looking liquid out, test it, and find out it's called strep group A, or the flesh-eating bacteria. As they get that figured out, they put a stent in my arm with the medicine draining right next to my heart, so it gets out and disperses immediately for the next 90 days. By the way, that was not on the plan. I was not expecting that moment to happen. I'm telling you this, sometimes we have to expect the unexpected. And in this moment we see in Scripture the disciples were not ready. They were not expecting what was about to happen next. In verse 25 it says, "During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified." They knew. They'd been spending time with Jesus. They knew what he looked like. They knew what he sounded like. But they saw him on the lake and they immediately reacted in fear. They said, "It's a ghost." The disciples did not realize it was Jesus coming to them on the water. Things in life are going to come our way that we are afraid of. But this is where I really admire the Apostle Peter. He says these words, "Lord, if it's you, Lord, if it's you." Now remember, I said football was big. In a high school of 40, everybody went out for football and played 8-man. We eventually played 6-man. Now, you see before you a man slightly north of 6 foot and slightly north of 200 pounds. Ever so slightly north of 200. Just a little bit. And when I was a freshman in high school, 5 foot nothing. I don't even know if I weighed 100 pounds soaking wet. And I went out for football. And the coach has this drill called the Oklahoma Drill. Oh, and he loved that drill. And he said, "Kevin, I want you in the middle." The camp house boys, they got to come out. "Bill and William." And I got down to hike the ball back to the offensive guy. I was going to stop the defensive guy. These guys were 300 pounds, mountains of men. And I'm thinking I'm going to wrap his ankles up. And he's not going to be able, even though he's 300 pounds, he's not going to be able to get him. Little did I know, they had a little combo beforehand. They said, "Hey, when coach blows the whistle, let's make a freshman sandwich." Coach blows a whistle, and I can't do a whistle. So he blows it, I get up, and immediately I'm going for the ankles, and in the middle of that, when I wake up, my nose off. I put my helmet on, and I got back in line. Was I afraid? Oh, yeah! I thought I was going to die. But you see, my coach wanted to see what I was made of. He wanted me to face the fear. And in those moments, we are going to have things that happen in our lives that we are afraid of. And understand this. God doesn't make them happen. He allows those things to happen in our lives so that we don't rely on ourselves, but we rely on Him.
Amen, brother.
It's not about you. It's not about how talented you are. It's not about how good you can speak. It's not about how good you look or what you wear, but it is. It's not who you are, but whose you are.
Amen.
We rely on Him.
Go ahead.
We rely on Jesus in times of fear. I gave everything I had in that moment, and I took the risk. The apostle Peter took the risk. He said, "Tell me to come to you on the water." He had enough audacity to ask Jesus that question. Oh, audacity, I love that word. It means the willingness to take bold risks. Peter took the risk of asking Jesus to walk on the water. Can you imagine having that kind of chutzpah? I spent some time in New Jersey, yes, and C-H-U-T-Z-P-A-H, you can look it up on the Google later. It means shameless audacity. Shamelessly taking bold risks for God. What are you willing to take the risk for? What are you willing to ask God for? Are you willing to say, "Hey God, use me to see my friend come to know Jesus. Use me to see my neighbor. Use me to see my co-worker come to Christ." There is some chutzpah. Now Jesus, in that next moment, listen, if I'm Jesus, and the apostle says, "Hey, Jesus, tell me to come to you in the water." Oh, Peter, I don't know if you know this, but your name means rock, and rocks don't float. That's not what Jesus said, but in my mind, you know what I'm thinking. Jesus says the word. Jesus speaks the word. And I need to give you a warning. Be careful what you ask God for. Because you might just get it. Jesus says, "Come on." Peter grabs the side of a boat, probably with knuckles turning white, knowing that he's about to do something absolutely crazy. And he flings his legs over, and he steps out onto the water. I don't know anybody on this earth who has ever walked on water that wasn't frozen. I work with teenagers. Yeah. I understand their thinking. And I have a 15-year-old son.
Yeah, he's hitting me.
And Peter steps out and walks on the water. Be ready. When you ask God, be ready. Because He's going to say, "Go. Let's go. Do it. Watch out." Why do we have nothing to worry about? Because Jesus is who He says He is. He is the Son of God. He is the healer. He is the Messiah. He is the Master. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He was and is and always will be. He is God's
Amen,
Son.
Brother.
Yes.
He came to this earth as a baby. He died on a cross and He rose again on the third day Amen. So that you could have life.
That's right.
Everlasting.
Come on. Come on.
That is who He is.
Amen.
When it comes to serving, working, doing, even taking risks for God, we can have a confidence that Christ is with us. In verse 27, we see it. He says it. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
If you've got a fire Bible on page 1301, it explains this out a little bit more. You can look at it, Pastor Chad. Some of the greatest don'ts in Scripture. You see, I've been raised in church. I know there's lots of don'ts. But some of the greatest don'ts in Scripture are don't fear, don't be afraid, have no fear, don't be afraid. I am with you. Is it really a risk if we have nothing to worry about? If we leave it in God's hands, is it really risky? Because we know who holds the future. We know who holds the key. We know whose we are. We have to expect the unexpected, face the fear, take courage, and we have confidence in Christ. And you go, whoa, hold on there, brother. You forgot something in the story there. Peter, he got on the water, but woohoo, he sank. Yeah, I know. I want you to think about this. When Peter started sinking, why? Because he lost focus. He started focusing on the fear. He started focusing on the storm. He started focusing on all the problems that were happening. When he got afraid, who did he call on? Muhammad? Oh, he's dead. Buddha? Oh, dead. He called. Lord, see me. Notice in the scripture, go back and read it for yourself. What's the word he says? Immediately. Immediately, Jesus was there. And I like to think Jesus reached out, lifted him up, and he chuckled to himself. Oh, Peter, you of little faith. Why? Why did you doubt? I am Jesus. Oh. But notice the other thing. The storm doesn't stop. Did it? Jesus and Peter walked together in the midst of the storm. What's your storm today? Jesus is there.
Right on.
Call on him. Call on Jesus. Don't trust the news. Don't trust what other people say or what you read on Facebook or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Call on Jesus.
Amen.
Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for these moments. I thank you for this time that we have today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you see, I have the honor presenting the gospel in many different situations in school clubs and other outreaches and churches and youth ministries, but I never take that lightly. You see, when God's word is presented, when the gospel is presented, it does not return void. It speaks to the hearts of men. God's speaking to you today. You may be here in this place and you don't know Jesus. You have never known Jesus. And in this moment, God wants to have a connection, a relationship with you. And if that's you today and you've never known Jesus, it's very simple. It's very easy. We understand that we are lost. We are separated from God. There's a darkness in life, and that darkness, the scripture calls, is sin. It separates us from God. How do we come to Jesus? Because there's that sin. We say, Lord, forgive me of the sin that separates us. Forgive me of the past. Forgive me of the things I've said or thought or done. Lord, forgive me. Make me brand new. As we ask God to step into our lives and clean us up, the scripture tells us he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. we open up our hearts to Him. We say, Lord, forgive me, Lord. Make me brand new. And in that same scripture, He says, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Cleanse us of the past. Cleanse us of the sin and make us brand new. He wants to do that today. Why do I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes out of the simple fact that I want this to be a moment where you have a closed-in moment with you and God. There's no ritual. There's nothing in the Bible that says we have to do this, but I want you to think for a moment who you are. Are you in relationship with Jesus today? And if you're not, this is the moment you have to step into relationship with God's one and only Son. And His name is Jesus. He wants you to live with Him everlasting. He wants you to be in heaven with Him. He doesn't want to be separated from you. He wants to be with you. He doesn't want to be apart from you. He wants to know you. You may have problems, challenges, and struggles. He wants to walk with you in the middle of those things. The Bible never tells us that we won't have problems. The Bible never tells us that we won't have trouble. But the Bible's very clear. And in this story today, we see it. Jesus is there with us in the middle of it all. He wants to help us through. He wants us to see Him. Maybe the Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart's door, even in this moment, saying, I'm here. Jesus is here. He wants to know you. Will you open your heart to Him? If that's you today, God's speaking to you, saying, you need a relationship with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Simply by lifting up your hand and saying, Brad, I need Jesus today. I don't know Him, but I need Him now. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else today? Say, yes, I need Jesus. I need a relationship with Him. I need to know Him. Put your hand down. And in this moment, it's a very simple prayer. It's not about the words that I speak, but it is this. That you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. We accept Jesus. We confess Jesus. And we believe in who He is. We say, God, forgive me of the past. Forgive me of the sin. And make me brand new. I love You, Lord. I turn towards You. Repentance is this. It means we lay down the past. We lay down the sin. We turn a 180 degrees and turn toward Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come before You today in this moment and at this time, realizing, God, that each one of us in this room today are all sinners. And without You, we have nothing. And God, today, we ask in this moment, God, to forgive us of the past. Forgive us of the darkness. Forgive us of the sin. Lord, and we put it down, and we turn away from it, and we turn towards You in this moment, God. We love You. Step into our hearts. Become the Lord of our life. Become the ruler. Be in control of our lives, God. We give our lives to You today in Jesus' name. Scripture tells us that You are a new creation. Today we rejoice with You. Every head bowed. Maybe you're here today and you are engulfed in fear. Let's be honest. These are challenging moments today in our world. And Jesus is here to say, don't be afraid. Be afraid. It's me. I'm here. If you're here today and you say, I'm dealing with some issues, some fear things in relationships at school, with friends, with
co-workers, with neighbors. Just in my heart, I'm dealing with fear. If that's you today, would you just lift up your hand and I want to pray with you? I see that hand. Yes. 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 Let's pray together. Pastor Chad's going to come. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are who you say you are, and that you sent your only Son, God, for us today, that we could live above fear and live in faith. And God, we pray for that today so desperately, Lord Jesus. God, that we move beyond the fear that may be engulfing, encasing us. Lord, the storms that we are surrounded by, in this moment we say, Jesus, save us! Save us! And you reach out your hand and you say, I'm here. Don't be afraid. I'm here. Meet us at the greatest hour of our need, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
What a great word to take steps toward Christ. And you know what? Some of the time he's going to, some part of the journey is going to be easier and some is going to be difficult. We don't need to let fear control us. And appreciate the word, brother. Appreciate what you do. Missionary to students in Missouri. It's wonderful. And thanks for worshiping with us today. Thanks for hearing the word, responding to the word of God. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come forward. We're going to take up an offering this time. And this offering is going to go completely to our friend. If you are making a checkout, I'm going to ask that you write the check to Warsaw Assembly of God or Warsaw AG. And we will write Brad 1 check. All right. Can you bow your hearts with me one more time? Father, thank you. I ask God that you would bless and anoint this offering. Bless both the gift and the giver. And God, would you encourage, may it be a blessing to Brad and his family as they continue to travel, as they continue to do what you've called them to do. We give you the praise for it, and we trust in you today, God. I just rejoice in who you are. Would you speak to hearts today in Jesus' name? Amen. I want to thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and your generosity, and praise the Lord. He's great. Teenagers, one, I can't wait for tonight for your sake. Pastor Brad is going to be over there as well in the youth building. Tonight's service will start at 6 o'clock. That's across the street for youth. And here we have adults and children in this service up here. That'll all be at 6 o'clock. Love to have you again tonight.
So when are we going to?
Praise the Lord. He's good, isn't he?
Amen. All the time.
Yes. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you for your giving. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you as we get ready to head out. Father, thank you for each one of these individuals. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would wrap your arms of love around them, that you would move in their life and through their life. Holy Spirit, rise up within them. Lord, let fear subside as we yield it, as we yield to you and surrender those things to you. Lord, use us as your people to reach those who don't know you. Use us to reach Warsaw and beyond. We give you the praise. We give you all the glory. Bless our friend Bradley and his family. Bless their ministry. God, move in lives. Touch the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great